Is this Barstool?
BarstoolSports.com. Is that right? BarstoolSports.com.
It's your boy KFC.
Become kind of a craze. Become kind of a craze.
Your boy Big Cat.
Kind of a craze. Kind of a craze.
And your boy Feidelberg.
So go to BarstoolSports.com if you do.
Being with Dave Portman. For the podcast, it's going to be amazing.
No, I mean, I forget sometimes how much better things will be. Like, this show and all the shit that we do is going to be so much easier and so much better. So, it's all a good thing. That being said, I've gotten an overwhelming amount of people being like, for real, I'm going to miss the, like, shitty audio quality and the internet. I'm like, well, okay. Because the three guys on the show certainly aren't, but all right.
You know what? I heard a great comparison that kind of scared the shit out of me. It was in Wayne's World when Noah's Arcade like sponsors it, and they're like in a studio, and they're like, "Whoa, this is like real now. It's not just us bullshitting at our houses."
Yeah, no.
You know?
I wonder. The only fear I have for KFC Radio is, and it's not really a fear because I guess we do this when we are together, but it's sometimes it's a lot easier to be totally ridiculous and say absolutely outrageous shit when you're just sitting alone in your room. When you're face-to-face with people and other people around, it's hard to be like, yeah, man, I shit my pants before we had sex once. I don't know. all right, so let's get into this last batch of internet voicemails. They are brought to you by BetDSI. Dan, football season is here. College football tonight, which means gambling season is here. How you feeling? I feel like I saw Lewis tweeted last night, like, gambling season is upon us. You know, Godspeed to everyone out there. It was like you guys were about to storm the beaches together. I'm so happy I don't have the gambling itch the way you guys do. But are you nervous? Are you excited? A little bit of everything? What do we got?
I'm very, very excited. The nerves won't come in until Sunday night when I'm down big and have a huge number and a huge hole to climb out of. But don't use a bookie because you don't want to bet with money you don't have, like me, like a moron. Use BetDSI.
Not only that, but they're one of the most trustworthy sports books out there. So you don't have to work with some shady bookie. You don't know what's going to go on. BetDSI.com sets a lot of the lines you play on, and they're one of the most reliable places out there. They set lines on everything, all the major sports, all the minor sports, reality TV shows, stuff in pop culture, in politics, in the news, anywhere that there's going to be a winner of some sort. BetDSI has got you covered and will set that line to help you make some money. Right now, if you use the promo code BARSTOOL10, that's BARSTOOL10, you will get $10 free to play on many of the current sporting events that I just mentioned. So, it's here, it's upon us. Go sign up, take that $10, and put it on a long shot. Go pick your favorite team, the worst team, whatever your itch is, scratch it. Put it on a long shot, follow it all season. And make some big bank, hopefully, through BetDSI.com. Once again, it's promo code BARSTOOL10 over at BetDSI.com. Let's start out with, what do we got here? Tailgate season, right? Talk about tailgating. Where'd that one go? Where the fuck did it go?
Morning Hank is sighing in my face now. He's so mad at me. He's so, for the reason. Why? Marcus
Pompey. Hank, are you – Hank, you want to come in for a second? Are you angry, Hank?
First off. Oh, he got up fast.
Tell him why you're mad, son. Tell him why you're mad.
Tell him why you're mad, Hank.
The last
– Oh, no. We shouldn't have had you move it. We shouldn't have had you touch the computer. Fuck.
Sleeping.
Wait. And then we got – Hang on. Start over. You broke up a little bit. Start the story over.
All right. He was supposed to do radio at like 8 o'clock this morning, and he canceled it. He was like, "Oh, we got a long day. I want to sleep in late." Then we got back last night, and he was like, "All right, guys, we're getting up at 8 a.m. tomorrow, like same time as yesterday." And then woke me up like six times. I tried to fight him off. Literally kicked me. Literally kicked me.
He does try to fight me off. He just like curls up. He goes turtle sometimes. To like cover himself so you can't fuck with him. Then sometimes he'll just get aggressive.
Literally kicked me, and then I got up. He's like, "Actually, they have a new KFC Radio here."
He left the kicking part out when he was trying to.
Need your computer.
I'm still be sleeping.
Okay, Morning Hank and Danny Content are mortal enemies. Number one rivalry at Barstool. People don't know about.
And seriously,
like Hank and I get along great. Have a great working relationship, friendship, everything, except for the first hour of every single
day.
Well,
Dan, you also got to remember that when Danny Content shuts down, that's when Hank the Editor begins work. So sometimes he's, like, working late for you, chopping your shit up.
Sure. No, it's true, but last night he wasn't. We all went to sleep. Last night he wasn't. Watched Hard Knocks in the same bed, and then we went to sleep.
The PMT on the road is, you know what you guys, you know what really you should have is like a place on social media where it's just you guys putting out your content, you know, like that would be awesome.
We'd be so smart. We'd be so smart.
Okay, let's get back to this voicemail. Like I said, it's tailgate season, so let's talk about it.
Hey, KFC, Big Cat Bites, Marcus calling from St. Louis. I'm getting ready to head out to West Virginia University this weekend for the open football tailgate. So I had a little question for you guys. Thinking back, what is the dumbest thing you've done, dumbest or funniest thing you've done at a tailgate?
It's tailgate season. First of all, back here at home, Dan, at home in New York, it's there's a little bit of a crisp in the air. It's a little cooler. It's rainy a little bit. We're getting into that fall mode, which feels great. I'm just like, oh, give me the clouds. Give me the darkness and the rain. Get rid of this warm weather. Fuck it. So that's good, which also means it's football and tailgate season. The question is, what is the dumbest, most ridiculous thing you've ever done at a tailgate? Which, Sleepy Hank. the dumbest, most ridiculous thing you've done at a tailgate, which, Dan, I feel like, was probably one answer for you a couple years ago, and now after, like, pardon my take life with some of the Grip Tour stuff, is a totally different answer. So we'll start with you pre-PMT, post-PMT.
Well, we haven't gone to a football tailgate yet, so I'll actually save that. Where I think we're going to go to a Bills game or a few games this year. So that will get a little
crazy. Wait, let's talk about that. Will you go through a table at Bills Mafia?
Oh, I have to. How can you not?
Well, you will go through it, or you will do the putting of the table.
I'll do both. I'll do it all. It's like going to like Italy and not trying the wine and the pasta. Like, come on, you have to go through a table in Buffalo. I think it was like maybe sophomore year. The Big Ten always plays so early, so we used to have to get up at like 8 a.m. or 7 a.m. to start drinking. And one time we were like late getting up, and we're like, well, we're way behind. And me and like three of my roommates, we all funneled whiskey. That was by far. And then like walked out the door, like, oh, I feel okay. Like did like five steps. And like, oh shit, I'm blacked out.
The instant blackout.
Yeah, right. So that's probably dumbest.
That is absolutely the dumbest. That's dumber than drinking milk and going on a roller coaster, man.
Yeah, it is. See, I'm progressing I'm evolving as a human.
Clem, what do you got?
I can see
the Clem clan tailgating hard. I remember when we did the Jets Pats tailgate through Barstool last year. Was it Jets? No, it was
Giants Cowboys.
Giants Cowboys. Yeah, because obviously you were there repping the Giants. You were with your own crew tailgating, and you found your way over to us, and you rolled up in a Giants jersey and Zubaz pants with the biggest, happiest smile. I mean, you were – I've never seen someone so happy, so there's no doubt in my mind you tailgate and love the whole scene.
Like 11:30 a.m. on tailgates is the best feeling I've ever felt in my life every single time. Like you're just like, I have another hour and a half to drink as much and eat as much as I want. And then I watch a professional football game come out, tailgate afterwards, and we watch the 4 o'clocks, you know, and grill the rest of our meat. I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about it. Right now.
So you like the 1 o'clock games for tailgate best?
No, I'd probably like the 4 o'clock because you can wake up later and you can watch all the 1 o'clock together, your fantasy team or your bets or whatever. I think that one was actually 4 o'clock too. The Dallas game was 4 o'clock.
I like the 4 o'clock for everything you just said, but I feel like it's almost like Saturdays are for the boys. It's like 1 o'clock is for the men, 4 o'clock is for the boys. I feel like the real true blue tailgaters are out there early, but I like the 4 o'clocks.
You're right though, Clem. The like hour and a half on the way up of a tailgate is the best feeling in the world.
When you've hit your stride.
Because every tailgate, I always end up so drunk that I'm like, damn, I wish I wasn't so drunk. I can't, like walk. I can't do, like, I'm firing off bets and losing. And it all falls apart fast. But the first hour and a half when you're just getting into that buzz, maybe eating some food, throwing the football, that's the best.
Yeah. So wait, what would you say would be your most ridiculous thing ever then?
So I have two. One is kind of a tradition we started where like 6 or 7 years ago, we had a bottle of White Horse Scotch whiskey left over, which was the cheapest shit you could buy. And we basically made it as like the whammy shot for a game we were playing. And no one had the balls to open it on Saturday. So we brought it. The Giants won. And now every single Sunday, it's evolved to a handle of White Horse. Someone buys it for me or I bring it. And then we have to finish it before we leave. Or the Giants are going to lose.
I've never even heard of White Horse whiskey. I don't know the
That's all you need to know about
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
But the worst individual thing I ever did was one time my buddy and I, we were like, you get all hyped up on Saturday, so we're going shopping. And we're like, instead of using like mixers, let's use Four Loko as our mixers. And I remember like three plays of that entire Giants game. I went in, I see it with usually like my father-in-law, and he's a really cool guy, big Giants fan, but he's, you know, he's not like a savage, you know
right,
what I mean?
Right, right, right.
So I was completely blacked out. My wife said, we had on the Giants, every time we had a guy who was number 69, we'd go, number 69 reports eligible. And we'd always do that, you know, like the fingers to the mouth thing. And she said I was doing it. I was just acting like a mutant up there. And I didn't remember a play. I remember like three plays of the game because I was using Four Loko as a mixer with my vodka drink. So that was dumb.
I mean, he probably enjoyed that more than any other tailgate, though. When, you know what I mean? Like, those guys want to see people become savages and cut loose. I would say I guess I had two, and one is kind of similar to yours, but in the total opposite fashion, Clem. I've gone to a couple tailgates with my buddy Paul and his father, Mean Gene. They have the same spot, the same people. You know, they've had season tickets to the Giants for a zillion years. He one game brought Stoli Raz and little shot glasses, and he kind of whipped it out, being like, hey, guys, like, look what I got, expecting everyone to be like, oh, shit. And we were like, Gene, like, Stoli Raz? What the – so now everybody does Stoli Raz all the time. And also, I'll reach a point at a tailgate where I'll just piss absolutely anywhere. I mean, it's just like I'm pissing on things, on people. I start to get, like, you know – so the piss just starts flowing. So
I do the kneel down. The kneel down.
Yeah,
kneel down.
In between – yeah, the double car doors and the kneel down is got to be the way to do it.
A little tip for Jets and Giants fans. If you park near the racetrack in the parking lot, there's like a bunch of like bushes and shit like on the edge. That's where you go, and that's where I park for my tailgates. So we just piss there now.
I believe Lewis is trying to organize some sort of big tailgates for us this year. So hopefully those materialize, because those would be a lot of fucking fun. Especially, you know, for the displaced guys, if you were going to like a Jets or Giants tailgate, Dan, that you didn't give a fuck about, you would really become an absolute mutant.
Sure. Right.
All right, keep it moving here. Let's talk about baseball.
Hey, what's up, KSC? It's Nick from Indianapolis. Got a question. So with all the Tebow hype going around with baseball, if a team signed him and he hypothetically played a 162-game season, what would his stats be? Batting average, home runs, RBIs?
Me, Fights, and Keith talked about Tebow's tryouts yesterday, 2 days ago on the rundown. Keith says that it's the world's fault that he's not playing football and is making him, regress to a baseball player. Fights just says he absolutely sucks. Where you guys stand on Tebow and his tryout, which, Dan, I'm interested to see your spin zone on this one. Because it stunk. It absolutely stunk, Dan. That footage was terrible.
Well, Did you hear about the sun? Sun was hellacious.
That might have been Skip's most ridiculous tweet ever.
He could hit David Aardsma. I think he went deep on David Aardsma, so that counts.
I saw your tweet saying they should have got Marmol out there.
Yeah, right, but they need someone to throw strikes. If Tebow played a full year, I think he'd probably hit like 100. He'd probably have like 12 RBIs, but he would have at least, like, 5 walk-off home runs.
Just because of the Jesus factor?
Just because he's a clutch player. He's got the clutch gene.
Oh, right, the clutch gene. I forgot about the clutch gene.
Do you not remember Tebow Mania? I feel like they need to make a 30 for 30 about Tebow Mania to remind people about Tebow Mania. It was incredible.
Yo, I know you're joking, but you're kind of like, that is one of those things that they do need to remind people just how absurd it was.
Yeah.
Maybe not yet.
It's literally the quarterback who can't throw took a team to the playoffs.
God, I'm so
improbable.
And won a game. Won a fucking game on an 80-yard touchdown.
Won a game.
Don't tell me. I don't think I know this about you, Clem. Are you a Tebow dick rider?
I am a Tebow. I think we went over this once on KFC Radio. I watched every one of those games. And Big Cat always mentions it. The Marion Barber play was when I was a, when I became a believer.
Yeah.
Forever.
Start, yeah, Marion Barber with the dumbest fucking play in the world. But Tebow's – I don't understand anyone who hates Tebow when the world is more fun with Tebow. That's just a simple fact. The world is more fun with Tebow.
I'm going to say no. I'm going to say, like, the world would be more fun if we weren't talking about this guy.
Oh, God, you're such a hater.
See, and this is the thing is, yesterday on the rundown, Kevin, you were like, if God loved him, why wouldn't he be, like, an all-star? God sent his own son to this earth and watched him get crucified and was like, those are the breaks. What are you going to fucking do? So there's my response. I was screaming at the rundown yesterday, like, he fucking, Jesus died for our sins. Tebow's dying for our sports sins.
That is a valid counter argument to which I cannot argue back on that one. What would his stats be, Clem? What would you pin him at?
I'm with Dan. The number 154 came in my head like immediately. 154 average, like three bombs, but like 12 RBIs, and they're all game winning. And it's like, I think he has maybe like one homer in him, like in game 162 to make the playoffs or something. But I think it's like hit by a pitch, wild pitch, you know, error by the shortstop who's never made an error in his life. It's like really weird shit is what's happening. The Tebow factor. Tebow mania.
I'll give him the Bartolo stat line. Bartolo right now, I'm looking it up. He's batting 102, got one home run, two RBIs, and two doubles. I think that would be the Tebow stat line, the Bartolo stat line. I mean, he looked that bad. Bartolo getting however many at-bats he gets versus Tebow's full season, I think they would put up the same stats. Listen, obviously I'm no fucking pro baseball player, but him tracking those fly balls, I was like, oh my God, this is terrible. Absolutely
hellacious.
Terrible.
Hellacious.
Two hands.
How often do you hear the word hellacious?
I think that, honestly, right now the Cubs could throw Tebow out there as a starter and probably still win 110 games.
Yes.
They are disgustingly good, Dan. The
I'm
stat
so
last night they were talking about on the Mets broadcast, they can go 500 the rest of the way and win 100 games, which is just fucking makes me puke.
22 games in August. They won 22 games in August. It's fucking ridiculous.
How many did they play?
Yeah, 21. Yeah.
21, yeah. It's funny because the Mets are battling now the Pirates and the Cards for the wild card, and I look at the standings and you're 15.5 games up on them.
So here's spin zone for you two Mets fans. I'm obviously like scared to death.
Yeah,
because
as you should be.
Now the expectations, like, you're the best team in baseball. There's no excuses. You guys have that, like, if we get in, magical run. No one's expecting us to get in.
Yep.
Guys got injured this year.
So
that
many
whole
injuries.
Thing.
So,
right.
I honestly think that's why they're playing better. They lost Neil Walker again. Steven Matz is probably out for the season, I bet. I think they're in the clubhouse. They're like, well, I don't know. Fuck it. Let's just go play ball.
Right.
You know?
Right.
The fans and the players alike, I think, feel that way. I would be nervous about the Nationals because.
Yeah, if you actually, Giants, too.
Actually, you know what? Daniel Murphy is Tim Tebow. He's baseball's Tim Tebow. So you're going to run into that. You already ran into that once, Danny Boy. Actually, how bad would that be?
Oh, Jesus. I didn't
how
think about
bad
that.
Would
yeah,
that
no
be
shit,
if
would
Daniel
be
Murphy
thanks.
Did it to you again?
Oh, thanks. You're just figuring this out? That this could happen?
Yeah. What was the goat's name? I think it was...
That fucking little...
Wait. Was the goat name like Riley? O'Reilly, was it? Or
dude, I don't even hate Nate, but I'll have to hate him if the Nationals play the Cubs. I actually, you know what? I won't even be in the office if that happens. There's no chance. And Dave will be like, you and Nate have to go to a game at Wrigley. I'd be like, I quit.
Bro, you're doing the bus. You're doing the bus. Yeah. Absolutely, no. You're doing it.
Fuck that.
How? Okay, let me ask you this. Would you rather go through it again with me? Let's assume that the Cubs lose in both scenarios. You have to do it again with me in my face or Nate in your face?
You, because I would never, you and I could fight and beef, but it wouldn't last past, like, that moment.
Right.
And Nate, I legit would, like, it would be very hard not to throw a punch. If he was just, like, running around and, like, in my face, like while the Cubs were just melting down. That's my worst. If you want to throw it all out on the cards, the worst possible. There's two situations that are like I'm deathly afraid of. One, Nate and the Nationals and Daniel Murphy just ripping my heart out. And two, Dave fucking Portnoy and somehow the Red Sox making a run. And like that actually would drive me. I actually would probably have to quit.
What? You're definitely going to win that bet, right? What was the bet you had with him?
So it was most wins, $1,000 most wins.
Or World Series, right?
But if you win a World Series, that's the trump card. So if the Red Sox don't make it, then I win it already. So that's what I'm rooting for, obviously.
I think you're in good shape either way, but...
We'll see. I mean, it's fucking Dave Portnoy. When he's not... He's due for some stupid win that, yeah, like, gets him back being cocky Dave.
That's true. As far as Portnoy is concerned, he's been on a cold streak.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So,
Would you rather face the Mets again or the Nats? Which I know is kind of a stupid question, but kind of not, you know?
I mean, I would rather face the Mets just because I don't think you guys are
not that good of a team. Yeah.
If we had Harvey and Mats, I think I would feel very confident, believe it or not. Like, some weird shit's going to happen. But without two of our four, it's like DeGrom and Syndergaard and Big Sexy can only do so much in my mind.
I honestly can't believe that the Mets are even still in the hunt. And it's not really like the second wild, you know, it's not one of those situations where the second wild card is really that much further behind the first wild card. So, like, they would be in the hunt no matter what. I threw out the console on them. So the console game, you know, you play it fast and loose, and sometimes you get burned. I have no problem having the egg on my face for the console if they do, in fact, make it back. Obviously, that would be a good thing. But it is wild that the Mets, with the slop they're throwing out there, are still even rolling. It's interesting.
Lion King, you do not fucking go against Simba and Mufasa and Pride Rock.
The circle of life for the New York Mets, baby. Let's get back to some of these voicemails first. Let me tell you about DraftKings. You ever heard of it? Yeah, probably. DraftKings is the number one weekly fantasy sports site in the world. They're giving out $5 million in prizes for week one. $5 million, including $1 million to the first place team. K. Marco was tweeting, they put up a new feature where they will tell you how many teams, how many rosters you made, how many lineups you made last season. Keith made 252 lineups in a 16-game season last year because that's what DraftKings lets you do. It's not one team. It's not one draft and you're done. You can make 252 different teams, which means 252 chances to make big-time money. That's what DraftKings does for you. No season-long commitments, old rivalries, new rivalries, big cash. That's what's up. So head over to DraftKings.com now. Use the promo code KFC. You'll play for free with your first deposit. That's code KFC to play for free in your share of the $5 million in total prizes during week one. Let's talk to some of the ladies out there.
Hi, guys. So I've been seeing my boyfriend for, like, a little less than a year now. And he's super nice. It's super great. But he's obsessed with Barstool. And it was, like, super endearing at first. But it's on another level now. Like, it is not just like, oh, haha, look at this funny vlog. Oh, the rundown was so funny. It's like, he's literally a Barstool conspiracy theorist. Like, he spent the entire last week writing me essay upon essay about why the comment section was changed and why Dave hasn't addressed the comment section yet. Like, I don't even read Barstool. No offense. I listen to KFC Radio. It's funny. Blah, blah, blah. But I could probably tell you more than anything about the entire website just from him. Like, we do not talk about anything else. And it's kind of making me want to put a bullet in my brain. Like, that's all he talks about. Not even the blogs. Not even, like...
All right. So this chick wants her boyfriend to stop talking about Barstool. I feel like this... Girl, I mean, like, my wife could probably call up and leave this same voicemail, being like, my husband won't fucking shut up about this website. Because it's just constantly, like, we were away last week with other couples who are real humans, real jobs, real families, and I'm sitting there watching, like, the Nate Smitty rundown, like, laughing or yelling, and they're like, what's going on? I'm like, well, let me tell you what's going on. I start explaining the whole thing, and my wife is like, shut the fuck up about these dudes. I guess there's not much of a question really here, or, you know, let's pretend you're a girl. How about that? You're a girl. You want your boyfriend to stop talking about Barstool. What are you doing to make it happen?
Well, you know, I actually think we made fun of Jamie O'Grady for the Cauldron shutting down for all of August. I actually think Barstool should shut down for 1 week a year.
So do I.
Just to give every, not just the, like, the bloggers, the readers, everyone just be like, yo, let's just, like, chill out for a week and, like, everyone go out, like, smell some air, like, pick a rose, talk to a human being. Because it's, we do the same thing. Like, we just lose, you know, track, like, of, like, reality.
Do you have any buddies who work in at banks? Where at banks, you have a mandatory, you have to take 2 weeks off because of, like, you know, fraud purposes and shit. You have to go away. I think we need that. The bloggers, everybody needs, like, a two-week period to avoid, like, Barstool overload. Because it's just getting, I mean, the Saturdays are for the boys thing. Like, girls must fucking hate that. And that was kind of the joke. That was, like, the joke at the beginning. Like, oh, girls can't be a part of it. But it's more like, no, on every single Saturday now, like, my boyfriend or whatever goes and gets, like, horrendously drunk and does very stupid things. We're affecting lives on a much bigger scale. Clem, I always see you tweeting, like, conversations you're having with wifey where you kind of explain what's going on. It sounds like she's a pretty good sport about it and just kind of rolls with it.
Yeah, she's pretty cool about it. Like I said the other day, like, I'm explaining the Nate and Smitty beef to her, and she was just like, didn't bat an eyelash. And that's where it's like, we've gone too far now, where the strange has become everyday life, and I don't like, now we're living in a twilight zone, because it's like, she's cool with it.
No,
she's
yeah. Like,
she
you
comes,
like,
she comes home and asks me, like, oh, did you listen to Dave's podcast yet? I'm like, oh,
no, that's real bad. Glenn, we're going too deep. I appreciate all the female listeners and readers. I love the girls that call in. I don't know if I could do... I think I like it when a girl is like, shut the fuck up about Barstool. You know? I need a little bit of separation. Not to say that, like, stoolie, diehard stoolie girls out there can't be, like, fun or a good girlfriend to have or anything. I personally, though, need someone to bring me back to earth. Like, yo, dude, shut the fuck up. Come back to reality here.
Right. It's a weird situation because there's no website like it, and that's what makes Barstool great. And I love, like, that everyone is, you know, that we have a hardcore fan base that's obsessed. But there are moments where you're like, don't think about the comment section that much. We're going to fix the comment section. Right. We didn't forget about the comment section. It's going to be fixed eventually. Like, are you that surprised that we fucked up, like, that we not fucked up, but, like, made a rash decision without any explanation? Like, you're a hardcore stoolie. You should know these things always happen.
You wouldn't have it any other way. That's the Barstool charm. We do things right on impulse. Come on. Right. Let's just say this about the comment section. When we've never put any effort into it at all. It's going to be fucking awesome once we actually address it and try to do it right. So people need to just relax about the comments.
And to this guy, don't write essays to your girlfriend anymore. Twitter and talk. There's plenty of stoolies on Twitter. Find them. They're not hard to find. And just fucking talk there. Give the poor girl a break.
Don't stop coming to Barstool all the time. Don't stop buying stuff. Just give your poor girlfriend a break. Just a little.
Yeah, I mean, who wants to talk to their girlfriend about stuff they like anyway?
Yeah.
Who wants to talk
to their girlfriend anyway?
Period. End of story. I want to talk about sports and my favorite TV shows and what's going on with, like, strangers on the internet. Not my wife. Come on. I think we got another one here from a chick. Let me find it. Yeah.
Hello. My name's Ellen from Chicago, Illinois. I just had a quick question. I told my brother this the other day, and he was absolutely surprised. Did you guys know that girls go into the same stall in the bathroom?
Did you guys know that?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, what kind of dude? That's the whole fucking. That's what chicks do. The joke is they go to the bathroom together. They're in there together. They're Snapchatting each other. I'm more interested in this girl being named Ellen. I didn't think there was another Ellen alive besides Ellen DeGeneres. Do you guys know any Ellens?
That's a Chicago name. I feel like Dan knows a few Ellens.
It is. It definitely is.
It's an old ass.
She probably went to Notre Dame, too.
Let's talk about Larry David real quick.
Hey, KFC. This is Connor from Houston. Real quick. So last week on Part of My Take, Carissa Thompson called Larry David. And it kind of sparked an argument between me and my buddies. Is Larry David a womanizer? You know, does he he gets around, and, you know, the ladies love him, or do you think he's just as awkward and weird and picky as he is on Curb Your Enthusiasm? Thanks.
All right, first of all, shout out to Carissa Thompson, who she can hang. She can run with the big boys. I thought that was great. She was really, like, she was toe-to-toe with you guys. I thought she was really good.
She bust balls.
Yeah,
she bust balls.
We kind of knew that going after the spelling bee, but I thought she was really good on PMT. I thought Larry David being the dude that she pulls out of her phone was, like, an awesome pull. More, I think that's better than Phelps. I think it's better than Tiger. That was incredible. So the question is, do you think Larry David fucks?
Oof.
Now
I think he is exactly the same person that he is in Curb. I will say that.
Yeah.
The way he answered that phone call and talked, he didn't even know he was being recorded, and he sounded exactly like he does in Curb.
Yeah, I think what you see is what you get with Larry. But that being said, there's some level of, like, he's just super famous and rich and very fun. Like, we had this argument with Portnoy about Jonah Hill. Now, Jonah Hill's younger, and that's a big differentiator. But, like, I think on some level, when you get to that status, you can smash. But do you think that even applies for Larry David?
I don't think he wants his body to be seen. He has to be, like, comfortable, I feel. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas Jonah Hill doesn't give a fuck, probably.
Imagine, I would love to see, like, a groupie take a picture of Larry David sleeping. You know, when athletes get caught like that? Like, yo, just smash Larry David. He's, like, naked body laying in bed.
I think he definitely smashes, and it's probably exactly how you'd think it would be. It's like he finds, you know, he talks to a hot chick, he makes her laugh all night, they go home, he has sex. It's like wildly underwhelming, and then just like, like, what did you expect? Like, that's it.
I'm Larry David. Like, yeah.
Right. Right.
Yeah, I can see that. Any girl who expects Larry David to lay pipe good is probably a little bit off.
So you think he's hitting smokes, like, you know, early 20s, yeah.
No. Nothing in the 20s. I feel like he's hitting, like, chicks like Belichick's girlfriend. You know what I mean? Like, the...
Well, okay. No. Okay, 40s, so here's the thing. I definitely think he's doing that. I think...
Sexy,
because
sexy, like,
because, but no,
the Palestinian chick. Palestinian chicken lady. Like, that's who I think of.
Yeah.
But I think the question, though, is more like, do you think he can smash, like, young groupie chicks? Because I think he can definitely get, like, an older woman who... older women would want to, like, almost date him or be with him or marry him. But I think the question is, are there young girls out there who are like, I'll fuck Larry for the story?
No, I don't think he does that, because, like you said, he's, like, paranoid.
Yeah, that's probably the number one. I don't think it's that they won't. I think it's that he won't. That's what Larry David is, that he would not bang the young chicks.
Correct.
All right, what do we got? Let's talk about KFC Radio. Like I said, this is the last episode of Internet Skyping, so let's get meta.
So, fellas, Nate from New Hampshire, long-time listener. Got kind of a serious question for you. When KFC Radio started, did any of you guys honestly envision you'd end up in the spot you are now? I was wondering, from those early episodes where it was like college buddies on Skype almost, wasn't that great, but everybody stuck it out. Now you're 180 episodes in, you've done Caroline, and you're not only continuing the show, but you're going to make it way better. Did you think that would happen? And if not, what did you actually expect when you first started it? Did you guys think you'd go a week or two or what? Just interested to hear you guys' thoughts.
Well, first of all, shout out to this guy being like, yeah, you did it for a while and it wasn't that good, but, like, you stuck with it. When I started, I don't know what I expected, because here's the thing. You could ask this question about anything. The Rundown, Pardon My Take, blog franchises, videos we do. I don't think anybody ever starts it being like, I'm going to start it here and I'm going to take it to here and I have a plan on how I'm going to do it. I mean, it was literally like, I got to keep up with the Joneses. This podcast shit is popping off. I got to do some type of audio content. My brother finally came to me and was like, yo, we can do these voicemails. I was like, all right, let's do it. I had no idea of what it was going to be or what I was going to turn it into. The only plan I did kind of have was originally the idea of making, like, a podcast network. And this was back when Barstool had not been acquired by Chernin. And I was always thinking, like, one day Barstool's going to disappear. And I'm going to hopefully have something to show for it. So my KFC Radio, initially, the idea was to have something in case Barstool eventually went away. Now, obviously, we're all kind of pot committed here with Barstool. So it's more just these are shows on the Barstool Network. But that was the only thing I ever kind of envisioned. Dan, when you first came on board, did you ever expect to be like, you know, a regular, or I'm going to do 150 episodes of this, or that first episode, did you think was a one-time thing, or I don't know, what were your thoughts when you first came on board?
You hit the nail on the head with the, when you step into one of these projects or you step into something new, you don't like ever have any idea where you have goals,
right?
Everyone has goals, but you have no idea what it's going to become. And I think that's actually why we're able to do what we do as well as we do, because like if KSC Radio was a show on ESPN or CBS, they'd just cancel it. Right. Whereas we had all this time to evolve it and make it what it is now. And you can say that same thing for the Rundown. We were talking last night, the Rundown used to be a 2-minute thing on fucking AOL.
Right.
Say the same thing for Part of My Take. All these shows evolved. So no, I had no idea I was gonna be doing this for this long. I'm happy I am. And like we said, we're going to try to rebrand it a little, because listening to the first ones and listening to the ones now is a totally different show.
Right. I think there's just a little – we need like a little PR. We need PR 101 for KFC Radio, where people still think of it as this show of, you know, would you rather fuck your mom or your dad, or would you rather have like, you know, dicks for fingers, or, you know. And while we always pepper those in there to kind of stay true to what it was originally, it's really just become three dudes – with completely unfiltered takes, whether they're going to embarrass themselves, whether they're going to incriminate themselves, whatever it may be, you're just going to get the honest take from a guy's mind, which is, oddly enough, something that nobody else really does. Any other show that claims that they're being 100% honest or giving you the real deal, they don't. So that's kind of our main hook that I think people need to kind of understand that, you know, it's changed a lot. I think what's even funnier is not – when we start things, it's different because this is our job. We were full-paid, full-time employees, and it was just like, I have to throw shit against the wall to try to make it work, and that's my job. What I think is funny is watching guys like Hank, who, like, started out as a producer and then was like, hey, Hank, do you want to come on Pardon My Take? And now he's, like, a full-blown member of the show. My brother initially was like, I'll edit for you and maybe put in some, like, sound effects. And then all of a sudden he's, you know, a producer for other shows and a co-host. So I think watching those people grow who, like, never had anything to do with it and are now part of it is kind of the most interesting part. Clem, as a viewer and listener before a participant, that's got to be kind of weird. Like, I'm sure you were listening to it beforehand. Then you become a member of Barstool. All of a sudden you're on a show that you once just kind of listened to kill time.
Yeah, and it still boggles my mind. Like, I'm on with you guys right now. It's just weird to me because I remember, like, obviously I'm a diehard Barstool guy fan, and I'm like, these guys are the funniest of what they do. There's nothing like it, and now I'm on it, like, 2 years later, you know what I mean, in terms of from when I started part-time to now, and it's a trip. And like you said, I used to laugh at you guys being like, you know, when Kevin has kids, they're going to now have his, like, vlogs in pockets. And now my ass is out here, and now my kids are going to be like, oh, shit. Like, so it's honestly a trip, but, I mean, it's real. It's something that no one else – I just – like Dan said, like, ESPN can't do this because in the end, Disney holds their – you know, and the mouse isn't going to let them just do whatever. And no one – as much shit as he takes – this might be the first compliment Dave ever gets on a podcast, so maybe I'll just stop here. But, like, he's just like, do whatever the fuck you want.
Right.
You know, don't get us sued, which Kevin breaks all the time. It's a trip, man.
No, I think Dave definitely lets you run with things. Probably not out of, like, strategy or generosity. It's like, I don't give a fuck about
boss. Being like a hands-off boss. He just doesn't care.
Right. He doesn't even know when you're doing something because he doesn't pay attention. But
dude, He the KFC Radio thing, like, he went to KFC Radio Live, and he's like, was that, like, a planned show? Like, no, this is how the show goes. Like,
he thought that KFC Radio, that all those questions were best ofs, that we have done all those questions before. I was like, no, this is all new material. He was like, wow. Like, you do that every week? I'm like, yeah, it's new material every this is a show, dude. He also, when we were in Nantucket, a little behind the scenes, he was, you know, we're talking about brands and franchises and how to promote them, and he was like, there's just too much confusion with Mail Time and KFC Radio. I don't get the difference. I don't understand why there's different names. And I was like, well, they're different shows, so they're different names. And he's like, but why would it be like that? It was like, well, one show is completely different from the other, so you wouldn't want to have the same name. And he was like, nah, I think, you know, it should just be one show that changes. I was like, I was like, that's your show, where you tune in for, like, a business show, and you're hearing high schoolers call in. Nobody in the world wants that. So there's
two. It was amazing. Like, so KFC's on KFC Radio, but KFC's also on Mail Time? I was like, yeah. That's how, like, it's not that hard.
It's really not. I was like, you're trying to, like, tell me strategy for two shows that you've never, ever listened to. So it's not really going to work. But, yeah, to sum up that question, never anticipated it being – I guess I never anticipated it being, like, canceled or me stopping. But I never thought about hitting 200 episodes and selling out shows and all that kind of shit. So, you know, shout out to us.
I still remember the first time that, like, I had the moment where it's like, oh, I actually, like, do incriminate myself. It was, like, maybe 3 months in. I was playing basketball, like, my Saturday morning – run, and a guy just comes up to me. He's like, "So you shit your pants?" Like, and I was like, "Oh, okay."
It's gonna be like that. Things
people do listen.
People are listening. Yeah. I mean, so many things though. Like the mustache grew out of KFC Radio. You see all of us get like fucking fat and lose hair and go gray and get married. I mean, like you've seen it. You've watched Feidelberg go from like a boy to a fucking man. I don't know. It's
a man boy.
Man child. Yeah. It's a cool thing that it's been running this long.
And shout out to the guy who asked the microwave baby, because I feel like that was the biggest moment in KFC.
It was. It really was. It's sickening how much that question has stuck, and I still get asked about it to this day. But yeah, cool stuff. Let's get back to some of the weirdness. The weirdness is brought to you by Dollar Shave Club. Dollar Shave Club is, it's probably one of the best services inventions of all time. It's taken expensive, hard to purchase razors and it's made them cheap and easy. It's just one thing that's, you know, you're saving money and you're getting convenience, which is what I am all about. Right now, if you go to dollarshaveclub.com and buy some of their shave butter, which is like shaving cream except it's softer and smoother and better for you, you're going to get a free month of the executive razor. The executive razor is as luxurious as razors gets. I think there's like 45 blades. I think there's like 35 blades maybe. And it's one of the closest best shaves you're going to get. You don't have to go to the store and break the bank and wait online and open up that thing that goes... you just get them delivered right to your house. I do every other month. You can do it once a month. Whatever you like, however frequently you want them, you can get them. So once again, go over and get that shave butter, which has the unique conditioning formula, which makes it unbelievably soft and smooth, and you will get the executive razor for free. Take advantage of this special offer today. Go to dollarshaveclub.com, dollarshaveclub.com/KFC. Now, I got a question. I saw a tweet earlier this week when I said, let's make these voicemails the best they've ever been for our last internet show. And this dude said, he tweeted at me and said, you asked me for my best question, so I had to call up and ask the leaves versus grains of sand question. I have no fucking idea what that could mean. I'm listening to it for the first time, too, so let's check it out.
Hey, KFC, Big Cat Fights, Connor, Matt Truth here. Got a good debate for you guys. What do you think there's more of? Leaves in the entire world or grains of sand on one average-sized beach? The leaves don't count on the ground. For the sand, nothing under the water, just before the water. Let me know. Thanks.
Interesting. Leaves on the trees, not on the ground, in the whole world, versus grains of sand on an average-sized beach.
This guy just wants to see us, like, make faces and, like, hurt our brains now.
So one grain of sand times a billion, blah, blah, blah. I think that grains of sand is probably one of those things where there's like a trillion grains of sand on a beach.
Like infinity.
Like the number. There's nothing more than grains of sand on a beach.
If you lined up all the grains of sand on a typical beach, it would reach Neptune and back three times.
That's
Did you just do that? Did you just
yeah.
You just Google that?
Neptune or Mercury?
Maybe Proxima B. We could go to the new planet with a bridge of sand, I think.
Question.
A lot of leaves.
We're also cutting that shit down, though. I mean, we're just murdering trees.
Yeah.
True. Yeah. All right, final answer for everybody, grains of sand.
Although, the ocean is rising, so if we're going to the water's edge, because we're cutting down the trees.
Not so fast, my friend. Of course, so here to get the season started.
Yeah.
That's that next level big cat thinking. That's what's up there.
The catness answer that Feidelberg had was, I said, that was a big cat answer right there.
Were you on that one, Dan? I don't think you were. It was which movie star would you pick to be in the Hunger Games with you? And Fights was like, the chick from Hunger Games. Katniss won 5 Hunger Games straight. I'm going to pick her. It was like, no, there's no arguing that one. It was a big cat.
Yeah, good call.
Let's talk about fighting animals, because like I said, if we're going to do the end of an era of KFC Radio, we got to stay true to who we originally were. So let's talk about fighting lions.
Hey, calling out of Jersey. So I got a fuego would you rather for you today, all right? So check it out. Would you rather take on Mama Lioness, the queen of the pride, armed with nothing but a dagger, or a pack of wolves with a handgun? But there is a contingency. If you take on the wolves, you got to say there's 8 wolves, and you only have 8 bullets. So if you miss one of them, you got to kill the wolves with your bare hands. And what's going to be? You taking on the Lannisters?
A mama lion with a dagger versus 8 wolves with a gun with 8 bullets. I think you have to take anything with the gun.
Yeah.
I mean, like, no matter how many animals we're talking or what animal we're talking, if I'm going to fight a wild animal, I want a gun. Do you think you could kill a lion with a dagger before it kills you?
Yeah.
Dan, do you think you could kill all these animals with your bare hands?
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
No. No. I'm
so
not
wait, you do think you could kill a lion with a dagger, but you think that having the gun is the better choice?
I think the gun, I'm like at like a 80% survival rate. I think the dagger, I'm like at like 40%. I'm not saying I'd kill the lion every time. If it was me versus lion, dagger 10 times, I think 4 times I would kill the lion.
Because
it's just basically the lion's going to jump at you. Can you get that one?
Right, like, because and dagger? if you miss on the one, you're probably you're cooked. Because if you still get it into the lion, but not in a kill shot, now you've lost your dagger. You're probably not going to be able to pull it back out and keep killing them, you know? So you basically have a one shot to get it, like, in their face. Eyeball, into their brain.
Neck.
Yeah. Which I don't think any of us are equipped to do that. A wolf with a gun, I don't think I'm really equipped to shoot a, like, jumping, fighting, moving wolf, but I think I have better chances with that.
Do you think if you miss with a shot, are you fucked then? Or do you think you can take a wolf?
No, because I also think once you fire that gun, those wolves are going to be scared. So they're going to, like, kind of separate. They're going to, like, they're not going to keep coming at you right away. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but you have to factor that into account, that one shot is going to change the game. And once they see that you shoot and kill one of their buddies, I think they might even fucking run out of there. So maybe really all you can do is kill one wolf and you're good to go.
Fight to the death, I think I could take a wolf. Their legs are so fucking small. You ever seen them? They're like, they're little sticks. Just snap them.
You snap one leg, they're fucked, right?
Yeah.
Because then they're just hobbling.
Just snap all 4 legs. Like, what are you going to do now, wolf?
Would you need a weapon?
No, I'm saying I could take one wolf.
Bare hands.
Me versus one wolf. Fight to the death. I would win.
No, you wouldn't.
Yeah, what? I told you my leg snapping ideas.
You know that wolves are like descendants of dogs, and you just sitting there breaking dog legs.
You ever look at your dog's like legs? They're fucking sticks.
Have you ever seen Duncan's legs? They're legit toothpicks. They're like the skinniest legs of all time. Your boy Duncan was swimming in the Hamptons, by the way. It was quite the scene. We were playing with the tennis balls in the pool, and he was on the outside just running back and forth, following them everywhere we threw it. Eventually just fucking dove in. It was so good to see. He was, like, living like a real dog instead of this city life. The shitty city life that I've given Duncan. I felt so fucking bad. He was so into it. I was like, time to go back to this horrible, godforsaken city that we live in, Duncan. Final answer is wolves with guns, Clem?
Yes.
Yeah, I think, is it dogs that mark their territory? Like, if you start pissing and you're just a, a, a beast of a human. Does that intimidate the wolves too? Like, I feel like that would probably...
Well, you could become the leader of the pack, and then you don't even have to fight them at all. If you start pissing and firing that gun, you become the alpha male, and you run the pack. Now all of a sudden you just got 8 wolf buddies. Nobody has to die at all. You go kill a lion.
And then we go kill that fucking lion.
Yeah, fuck that mama lion. Let's talk about chicks and pizza.
KFC, Big Cat, Fights, Jake from Maryland here. Long-time listener, honestly, going to miss the shitty sound quality.
See, I'm telling you. The people, they're out there. The people genuinely like the bad sound quality. I don't get it, but thanks to you guys, because otherwise I don't think 200 episodes would have been possible.
I'm a college student. Me and all my boys playing a club rugby team down at school. And one of our good friends on the team is with this girl. He wouldn't say that they're dating, but they basically are. They hang out all the time, hook up all the time. And he's thinking about ending things with her. He's getting a little sick of her, wants to explore other girls, all that crap. The only problem is that this girl he's with now works at a pizza place in town, probably the best one in town, and she's always bringing over boxes and boxes of leftover pizza at the end of the night. So she'll bring them over, he'll invite us over, we'll pig out. So what I'm asking for is kind of for my friend. Does he stay with this girl so that all his boys can get free pizza? Or does he end it with the girl, go do his own thing, and piss us all off? Thanks. Good luck in New York, guys. Be with
tough spot to be in. Dude is dating a girl. It's not really working out. She's not that good. But she is a pipeline to free pizza. There's never been a better example of you got to take one for the team here. I mean, bros over hoes. If you can get free pizza, only better than that would be like free drugs if she was a drug dealer. Other than that, if this chick can bring your whole squad pizza, you might have to marry this girl. You might have to be with her forever. As long as she's working at that pizza place, you got to hook your boys up with the pizza. Clem, agree or disagree?
Yep. I was trying to think of a rhyme. Doze over bros was the best I could come up with.
Doze over bros. I think it's easier said than done, though, Dan. It's easy for us to say that. If you were that guy, would you be able to continue to date a girl that you didn't really like, but you got the free pizza?
It totally depends on where you are in life. If this is like a college kid, 23, 24, you got to keep going.
Assuming.
You got to keep going. If you're like 28, 29, then yeah, it's okay to break up because you don't want free pizza. But if you're a poor college kid, you got to ride this thing for all it's worth.
I think you also have to be prepared. Like, you have every right to dump this girl, but your friends are going to be like, fuck you, dude. You have to be prepared for that backlash. You're not just breaking up with that girl. You're breaking up with your friend's pizza. That's going to be a big strike against you, dude.
And the thing is, if this is maybe something that could work, I don't know. If he breaks up with her, he has to allow another friend to then start dating her and say, I'm not going to give you any shit.
Someone in the crew.
For the pizza.
Yeah.
And the bros.
Do it for the pizza. I like that. All right. Last voicemail of the day. It's brought to you by 54club.com. Like I said, we're hitting the fall, so it's time to break out the long sleeve tees and the hoodies, maybe get a new jacket, some fresh jeans. 5-4 Club has got you covered. They are an LA-based brand that creates stylish and exclusive clothes that can get mailed directly to you. So every month or so, you can get a package with a couple items of clothing to instantly update your wardrobe. You don't have to worry about going to the store, trying on clothes, grabbing things off the rack, things that, you know, you don't know if it fits your style. Go to 54club.com. You create your own style profile where you pick whether you're casual or fashion forward, whether you like your jeans skinny fit or straight fit. It creates your own personal profile so they know exactly what kind of stuff you like. They send you new clothes. So like I said, you can kind of keep updating. I used to be the guy who would go like at the beginning of the season and buy like everything in one shot. So you had your clothes for the fall. You had your clothes for the spring. This way, though, every month you're going to get something new. So a new style comes out, some new kind of stuff that's hot that you're unsure about it. You maybe wouldn't buy it yourself, but 5-4 Club sends it directly to you. Now all of a sudden you're trying new clothes, updating that whole wardrobe. It's a good look. It's the adult way to look your best. They have free size exchanges, free returns, free delivery. So go over to 54club.com now. And the best part is if you use the promo code KFC, you're going to get 50% off your first 2 months. That's $240 worth of clothing for $60. And here's my question. I've been kind of racking my brain here. How is $240 worth of clothing 50% off $60? Riddle me that. They keep saying it. So, like, if it was $120, you get 50% off and it'd be $60. And then if it was 2 months, it would be $240. But if it was 60 and 60, it'd be $120. I don't know how you get down to $60.
This is the Michael Phelps shit again.
It's like the, you know, 5 gallons in the 4 gallon jug. But who cares? All I know is you're going to get $240 of clothes for $60. So go to 54club.com and use the promo code KFC to get involved. Last question of the KFC radio internet era. Let me look through and see what we got. Make it a good one. Larry David, Tebow. Let's talk about traumatic masturbation syndrome.
Hey, fellas. Just got a quick question for you. First time, long time, yada, yada. Still going to ramble on, so I'm just going to get to it. So I used to play juniors in Canada, and so I had a roommate from Maryland, and him and I built it at a family's place. Shared a room, both had single beds, pushed up against each other. And so this kid from Maryland, he had a problem. He couldn't ejaculate, orgasm during sex. So it was obviously a problem of his. So research turns out he had this thing called traumatic masturbation syndrome, I think it was called. So the way this works is, I guess the kid grew up not knowing how to masturbate. And the way that this syndrome comes about is that basically what you do is you just get a good grip on your dick, lie on your stomach, and somehow through the pressure of your body weight on your penis with this grip you got on your penis or whatever, I guess that's how you jerk off and you come, whatever.
Alright, listen, this voicemail, this guy goes on for 2.5 minutes. So I'm gonna cut it short here because I heard this, I immediately thought this is fake, this is bullshit. I Googled it. Traumatic masturbatory syndrome is a real thing. Apparently, this is for guys who can't come or have issues getting it up. The way it works is you lay down on a flat surface, whether it's the floor or the bed, and you grip your penis and you grind it on whatever surface you're on, and apparently it helps you fix your dick problems. I can't believe this is a real thing. If you can't come or you have issues getting it up, if you do this masturbation this way, somehow, apparently, you retrain yourself to come, then you can eventually transfer it into your own to the normal way. I honestly didn't believe it was real. It made no sense to me, but it's a real thing. Traumatic masturbation syndrome. And I think that's maybe the worst syndrome you could possibly have.
You Googled
have.
It?
I Googled it. I'm looking at an Ask Alice thing from Columbia University's website. It's crazy. He had 4 cases of men who had ED and delayed orgasm, and he claims that these disorders came about, and then they masturbated lying down, or they rubbed their pee. Oh, no. So wait a minute. This is the backwards. It came about because they were masturbating the wrong way. So this is even crazier. These dudes don't know how to jerk off to the point that they did this thing where they were lying face down. So I guess the real question is, how do you not know how to masturbate? Who would not know how to do this?
Who fucking jerks off lying face down?
He claims these disorders came about because the subjects usually masturbated while lying face down. They tended to rub their penis against their hand, the surface of the floor, the bed, or whatever they were laying on. So this guy had to retrain them to masturbate face up with their penises in their hands, and then their erectile dysfunction went away. I'm telling you, dude, if you are so stupid that you don't know how to jerk off lying face up, you don't even deserve to have a penis.
This kid has no one to blame. He actually, I feel bad for this kid. His father failed him. His school failed him. Awkward sex ed class was? At least it taught you, there was pictures and shit. You're like, okay, this is all right. I kind of get a sense of what's going on here. This is so fucked up. Like, is this kid homeschooled by his mother?
It's not even, you know what? The system failed this guy, Dan, but his own brain failed him. His own dick failed him. There are some things that you just know. I didn't need to read a book, someone saying, like, you'd lay on your back and move your hand up and down. It just happened. I don't know. It just did, because I'm a normal dude with a functioning brain and a functioning dick. If you think that you're, like, if your first inclination is, like, oh, yeah, I'm going to try this masturbation thing. I'm going to lay down on the floor, rub it against the ground. Why would that be the way? How do you not know how to jerk off, Clem?
Wild.
We talked about that a couple weeks ago, how you just learn to do it. It's just like ingrained in your DNA. It's like doing the thing out the window with your hand. To fix it, I always think a hypnotist works. I feel like you just need to get hypnotized, learn how to beat off the right way.
Are you a hypnotism guy?
I've never done it, but I've seen way too many people that have done it on TV and stuff to believe
it. You guys want to go get hypnotized?
I've been hypnotized for sure.
I'm actually a little bit worried about that, though. I'd have to have, like, the person swear to not ask me, like, all sorts of fucked up questions. Because I don't want to be on camera and have them ask me questions that I'm answering that I shouldn't really be answering.
But Barstool Sports, no one is going to look to, you know,
sabotage me in that department. No way. It would be funny as fuck to watch all of us get hypnotized, though. Imagine, like, Clem, like, dancing like a chicken or making him do all sorts of weird shit like that. Barstool hypnotism, now that's content. But if you masturbate by rubbing your dick on the floor, you definitely should go get hypnotized. Go do anything you possibly can to learn how to not be a goddamn idiot. It's not that fucking hard.
Go to a hooker, too. I mean, let's just throw that out
there. I mean, that's the other thing. It's like this guy has probably never hooked up with a girl because she'd be like, I don't know. I feel like that eventually comes out and she'd be like, no, you don't do it that way. You do it.
Yeah, he just lays on the floor.
Right. Like, just follow her lead.
Like, his girlfriend goes to jerk him off. He's like, hold on, let me flip over.
Right. Like, no, this is the way that you do it. all right, so that is it for episode 183. That is it on the KFC Radio Internet era. This episode and this entire era was brought to you by Wealthfront. Wealthfront is they sponsored today's podcast. They are a transparent and affordable financial advisor for the people out there who maybe don't have that much money or maybe don't have the time or the understanding of how to invest. Wealthfront will invest your money with no trading commissions and free accounts under $10,000. And if you have a lot of money and you want to invest with them, accounts over $10,000, there's only a advisory fee of 0.25%. So for a lot of our listeners out there who may be college kids or fresh out of school, don't make too much money, but you want to get into the investment game, for maybe some of the people out there who don't know how to invest or who to talk to, Wealthfront has got you covered. If you go to wealthfront.com/KFC, they will break it down for you and teach you how to invest, show you how to invest, do it for you, and take a small amount of money and make it into a big amount of money. That's wealthfront.com/KFC. Dan, any last words for the internet listening era of KFC Radio?
Oh, man. I'm so excited. I'm very excited. It was a good run, but our lives are going to be significantly less stressful without Skype.
I've likened it to when your team gets a major player back from injury. It's like the trade deadline's gone. You can't make any more moves, but all of a sudden you get this your guy back, and it's like you still made an acquisition. That's what KFC Radio going live is going to be like. It's like we're just going to have a whole new team, whole new way to work with. Very excited for it. And like I said, hopefully it's next week. Probably not. We'll probably be on Skype. We'll see you guys on Skype next week for episode 184.
Yeah, see on Skype. Same place, same time.
All right. Talk to you guys.
Later.
Later, man.
Is this Barstool?
BarstoolSports.com. Is that right? BarstoolSports.com?
It's your boy, KFC.
Become kind of a craze.
Your boy, Big Cat.
Kind of a craze.
And your boy, Feindelberg.
So go to BarstoolSports.com. If you do, God bless you.
You listen to KFC Radio.